Hi.
My name is Spencer Grant, and you're listening to Four Trees, a Warrior Cats community podcast. So for this week and the previous week and the next week, we're going to be talking about the final book in the New Prophecy, Sunset. You know, my friends Cora and Clayton, they were here in previous episodes. Now they're together. Deal with it. But before we get into all of that, before we start talking about the nitty-gritty, the Warrior Cat stuff, I want to tell a story. One that will help you, as a listener, understand my friend Clayton a little bit better. So without much further ado, let's get into that. In a metropolitan area on the east coast of the United States of America. He had a fairly average childhood. He had a mom, a nice house, lots of neighboring friends, and his dad came by every Thanksgiving to help with the turkey. He grew up watching cartoons and, similar to many people our age, YouTube. A part of Clayton was always captured by the glitz and glamour of YouTube. There was something so enriching to him about the parasocial relationship between the viewer and the creator, something he dreamed of emulating. There wasn't a word for it yet, but what Clayton wanted to be was an influencer. Another curious thing happened when Clayton was in middle school. An actor called Charles Sheen, known for playing a dwarf on the hit show 2½ Men, suffered a very public mental breakdown. He was fired from his starring role and replaced with Ashton Kutcher, a television personality who is known for telling lies to people and then making fun of them when they believe those lies. But Ashton Kutcher doesn't matter to this story. What matters is how the world treated Charles Sheen. Charlie Sheen's meltdown wasn't the first celebrity topic to obliterate the news cycle both on television and the internet, and it wouldn't be the last. However, it was one of the first to be so widely memeified. The internet was afloat with references to what Charlie Sheen was saying. Things about how he had tiger's blood and obsessively turning winning into a catchphrase. For one last sputtering moment, Charlie Sheen was an influence upon the zeitgeist. Then all was quiet. It's hard to be sympathetic to the wealthy and powerful. Charlie Sheen is an anti-vaxxer and a 9/11 truther, and I don't think he's a particularly good person. However, it is even more difficult not to see the inherent hardship of having some of the worst moments of your public life mocked by millions, and understand that you do not get to choose your 15 minutes of fame. However, even after seeing that, even after watching it unfurl in the formative moments of his life, Clayton would never renege on his dream to become an influencer. That is the kind of person he is, and that is how driven he is by his goal.
I'm sorry, I'm just now stuck on the idea of inbreeding and like, what's the... So did you ask like the ecologist? Because I know there's a certain like number where it's like the breeding population required to like not have... just insane amounts of inbreeding in a population, and I'm almost positive that the warrior clans do not meet that threshold.
Yeah, they almost certainly do not.
It's like less than 20 cats a clan, isn't it?
Basically, I mean, if there are like 50 cats in Thunder Clan, and then like eight
like
for
that,
the rest
that can't be a sustainable breeding population.
That's the thing, is that, like, a breeding population has to be, like, in the thousands, basically, for it to be sustainable, for it to, you know, not have issues with genetics and genetic bottlenecks. And the warrior cats, and, like, unless we were to treat that, like, each cat as, like, an abstraction, or we were to assume that there are, like, you know, hundreds more cats in this forest that we're just not getting to see and don't really have names and are invisible... Then there's basically no way for you to assume that these cats aren't insanely inbred unless you decide that reproduction is magic, which it very well might be, because I think
Star Clan and Crow Feather, Star Clan gets rid of all the genetic issues from the inbreeding.
Sorry, these cats are magical.
Yeah. I'm really for the take now that. the four cheese, but that the entire forest is essentially, you know, the equivalent of a French royal family.
freaking Habsburg.
And the reason why all the half-breeds, the half-clan catches dominate is because they're the only ones that don't have crippling genetic disorders.
Like,
30 years
of
inbreeding. Oh my god.
Like, that's probably why they die so young too.
Like, hang on, I'm doing some looking things up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you remember the whole dust pelt and fern paw thing that also that was like. Yeah, in addition to being like, hey, this looks like grooming, also their dust pelt seems to be Ferncloud's uncle.
Yup.
What is going on?
They're side characters. Nobody would notice anyways.
Understandable.
We'd notice if like, Graystripe was, I don't know. Does Graystripe have any children? I guess not. Or he...
That was...
He has so many children that it's a problem.
And also, like, the pivotal, like, the entire point of one of the books.
That's true. I think if Feathertail and Stormfur were getting together, people would raise eyebrows, because they're main characters. But this is Dustpelt, for God's sake. He hasn't been relevant in probably around 10 books by now, and there have only been 12 books that we've gone through so far.
Yeah, and I mean, his only real relevance.
He's just not very important, and that's...
To be mean, dust paw, mean, not nice, mean.
Yeah, and then there was... apparently, that was supposed to be a love triangle. I don't think it counts, because it was very clearly, like, a love collection of tangents. Like, Sandstorm was in love with Firepaw. Dustpaw was in love with Sandstorm. Like, that's just... Firepaw
wasn't
interested...
with Spotted Leaf.
He was in love with Graystripe. You get this Graystripe erasure out of my face. But, like, yeah, that's... It wasn't a triangle. That's why, in the last book, it was really irritating me, because, like, Sandstorm was... She was reprimanding Squirrel Flight for getting in a love triangle. She was like, Squirrel Flight, you're... How dare you be... conventionally attractive to two Toms who are fighting over you. Now they're fighting over you. This is your fault. And it was like, oh, cool.
Oh my god.
Why was there so much relationship drama in this book?
It was really, like, in the past three books.
No, yeah. But, like specifically, like, as someone who, again, only read this book, there was a lot. Like, Ashfur pulled his whole, like, I'm a nice guy act. He 100%, like... Hey, why won't you date me? I'm a nice guy. I can't believe you friend-zoned me.
Yes.
OMG. Like, that's his whole thing. He's like, you can't go Brambleclaw. He's a bad guy because of his parents, which is, like, weirdly racist. So weird racial profiling.
If it makes you feel better, the previous one, which I think was Twilight?
I don't remember,
Book five,
man.
Was even more full of relationship drama, because not only did you have Ashfur, Brambleclaw, and Squirrel Flight, and it was more intense and more central, but you also had Leafpool and Crowfeather off to the side. It was like every single major character
and
was
Leafpool
just...
Leafpool and Mothwing.
Was Ashfur, like, a good mate? Like, was he reasonably, attractive recently?
Because
he just seemed... He was just nice guy. He was full, beam me up, soft boy, nice guy stuff. Right?
Yeah,
that's
in this book he does
a
180.
Like a character assassination, because Ashfur was like a genuinely nice person.
Squirrel Flight talked about how she could see himself, you know, falling in love with him, and she genuinely expressed romantic interest. And then suddenly this book happened, and they were like, "Oh crap. We forgot to get the female and the male lead back together. I guess we have to make Ashfur terrible and forgive Brambleclaw for spending two books bullying the heck out of Squirrel Flight." Was what happened.
I feel like I'm not sure. It's been a while. I feel like I also remember Ashfur being the one that led Firestar to the Foxtrap.
It is heavily implied that that's what happened, yeah.
Like, and why? Because Squirrel Flight...
Yeah, because he's
like,
bitter that Squirrel Flight didn't...
This is, like, the most egregious case of character assassination I can remember in the Warrior books.
Yep.
Like, at least... up to this point, people have been consistent.
Well,
doesn't make sense because the Ashfur thing
doesn't
only make. But Ashfur thing would mean that he would be, like, led to by Hogfrost, but he would hate Hogfrost because he's Brambleclaw's brother. Hold on. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
You're beginning to unravel the web.
Okay. I mean, is it definitely Ashfur? Like, are there? Because the idea is that it was one of the Thunder Clan.
Sure.
It's like
I'm
one
90%
of the
sure it's Ashfur. I think they say that at some point in Power of Three.
I don't think. Oh, they say it in Power of Three. Okay.
I'm 90% sure. It has been a while.
So that brings me up to the fact that, like, why this book should have had another chapter. This book should have had another chapter.
This book should have ended with Brambleclaw killing Fire.
This book should have ended three books before it began. I'll be real. This
Look, all I'm saying is if they kept everything consistent and had Brambleclaw be consistent with all of this and end up killing Firestar and taking over ThunderClan and killing Hawkfrost to seize power unabated, basically fully mantling his father and completing one of the many sins of the father plot lines...
I mean, maybe they just don't want to have a sins of the father plotline. You ever think about that? Maybe it's
this is Warrior Cats. Every plotline is sins of the father.
No, but like we can, maybe they wanted to turn on their head. That was the idea.
This is the resolution in every one of them.
They already turned it on its head.
They turned it on its head again.
With Brambleclaw.
Yeah.
In the last series.
In series one.
What was that?
Bramblepaw. Yeah, okay. There was this whole thing where Tigerstar was like, oh, my kids, come live in ShadowClan with me. We're cool. And Tawnypelt was like, well, yeah, because ThunderClan thinks I'm Satan because I'm related to you, so I guess. But Bramblepaw's like, no, you're awful and evil. Get away from me. You're killing everything. And then he just conveniently forgot about it?
Yeah, he spends, like, 2 years taking evil lessons from an actual fascist who...
After putting a huge amount of effort into distancing himself from said evil fascist.
I think Tawnypelt, like, just genuinely had the better story here, where she was, like, she went with him once she saw her mistakes. She comes back, and she's like, what? And Tawnypelt was a freaking MVP in this book. Like, when she's in the Dark Forest and Tigerstar is like, come, my child, let's be evil together. It will be great. And Tawnypelt is like, what are you talking about? You're freaking evil. I don't want to do that. Like,
honestly,
Tawnypelt
is like one of my favorite cats in the entire Warrior series.
She's great. Like, she should have ended up with Squirrel Flight.
I mean, I was doing some research on Tawnypelt. Mm-hmm. And apparently, like, to finally complete her plot line about, like, ambition and Tigerstar. She's deputy at one point, but she eventually abdicates deputyship because she feels she's too old to be.
What a guy.
Like,
she's just so good.
The best. And this is why I think series 3 should not have been about super-powered Bramble children.
Yeah.
It should have been
about... They're not Bramble children, are they? Like, they're very clearly not. They're Leaf Pools kids.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, no one ever notices she's pregnant, but we're not going to talk about that.
Wait, they're Leaf Pools kids? What?
Yes, they are.
If you read this book, it's insanely obvious, like, this entire time. Like, this.
Wait, I thought that was Power of Three. Were you talking about Power of Three?
Yeah, Power
of
Three.
The three main characters are... constantly, they're known to be Brambleclaw and Squirrel Flight's cats, but
right,
they're
yeah.
actually mm-hmm. not. They're Leafpool and Crowfeathers.
When is that? When
nobody.
Does that come out? When does that come out? Is that like in the end of the series? I guess.
I think so. But like, if you
I
read
think,
this
actually,
book,
it's only
incredibly
like,
obvious.
I think it's only like three books in.
Is it? Oh, I mean,
and I think then. Some like.
But I'll be honest. I did speed run this book this morning, so maybe I missed out on some elements of it.
Yeah. Basically, Power 3 derails, like, a million different things by giving cats also superpowers, and it gets
mm-hmm.
weird. And then there's, like, the...
Relationship drama.
Look, we're not here to talk about Power 3, but there's also, mm-hmm. like, a bunch of, like, flooded caves with a very ancient cat under them directly under the lake territory, and it's very weird. It's very weird. Like, very, very weird.
I have one theory, one hot take theory I'd like to defend. Mm-hmm. I think Brambleclaw isn't actually Tiger Star's kid. I think he's Firestar and Graystripe's love child.
Yo, I stand. Wait, that means that incest is extremely canon.
Yeah, I have no backing behind this. I just I like it.
Is incest extremely canon? Because I don't know with the Power of Three thing. I don't know if Brambleclaw and Squirrelflight ever actually had kids.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, well, in that case,
I feel maybe it leads credence to. That's why they pretended to have kids, because they knew.
You know who's...
You've got a point.
Wow, I like how we're really going for the theory where I just said that Firestar and Graystripe had actual children.
Yes.
I mean, they do. Sure, they did basically raise a child together, and that child is Brackenfur.
Right, yes. But also, canonically,
so horribly neglected.
This theory does have Graystripe and Preg, I would like to say.
I hate Graystripe is the one who gets Preg.
One of the things that
I hate the most about this, it really frustrates me, is that one of the characters, Brackenfur, who views himself as partially responsible for Cinderpelt's death, right, at the very beginning. Nobody remembers that they're siblings. Nobody remembers that Brackenfur is Cinderpelt's brother.
And so is Brightheart.
And literally nobody talks about, even Brackenfur, when he's talking about how guilty he feels, he doesn't mention, oh yeah, that was my sister.
I think maybe he forgot too.
Everyone forgot about Brackenfur. The poor guy.
It was so annoying. There was literally the part where Firestar is deciding whether he wanted to be, whose deputy he wanted to have. I screenshotted this because it bothered me. It was, Brambleclaw, Firestar echoed when she had finished. Yes, he's a good warrior. He would make an excellent deputy. I'm doing a British accent because these cats are in England.
Yes,
and you can't convince me otherwise, Clayton.
Correct.
He shifted amongst the moss and ferns. I'd almost decided to appoint Brackenfur, he went on. He would have been a good deputy too, and he is a loyal warrior. But I have to remember that I'm not only choosing a deputy, I'm choosing the cat who might be the next leader of ThunderClan. And somehow, I'm not sure that Brackenfur is that cat in it. End quote. We could have had Brackenfur deputy, we could have had Brackenstar, we were robbed. I'm so angry about that.
And meanwhile, he goes into no further detail about that.
Mm-hmm.
Brackenfur, for all the interesting, Brackenfur is interesting by positionality and adjacency. He was partially mentored by Graystripe and Firestar in turns. That makes him interesting. He's the brother to one of the most important characters in the entire series up to this point. That makes him interesting. But he has no personality and nothing going for him. I cannot tell you a single thing about Brackenfur other than his adjacency to more important cats, and I think that's very sad.
I mean, aren't Bracken and Bramble the same thing anyways?
Basically.
So maybe...
Bracken is just a plant.
I think leads credence to them, to Bramblestar being their love child.
Oh my god, they're brothers.
Then they were brothers.
They were roommates.
It's just very sad. How do you guys feel about the Cloudpaw wife arc? Or Cloudtail's wife arc?
I think that's my favorite part of this book. I will defend it to the day I die. Cloudtail was the only character I enjoyed in this book. And him just being I enjoy his entire plot line of just being... basically like Homer Simpson. I love my wife. Why is she mad at me?
On one hand, why do we need more relationship drama? We already have so much relationship drama. But on the other hand, Cloudtail's relationship drama is one of the only relationship dramas in this book that I thought was honestly the most unobtrusive and acceptable. Because it's not the point of the book, and no one really cares that much.
It's also
it's a side interesting narrative. Stuff that happened in the background. It was
I think it's good that
flavor text.
I think it also helps that Cloudtail's not a not a jerk. He's not the bad guy in his story. He's just kind of dumb.
He's not Brambleclaw.
He's a really nice guy. He's just like, oh, what? Why? Why is my wife mad at me?
Ooh. Wait, oh, look, Cloudtail, he's another pretty competent warrior, isn't he?
Would have been cool to have him as a deputy, but...
Would have been cool if this lends further credence to the fact that the most competent cats are the ones not born in the clans.
The Mousefur's meeting was so funny to me. Like, Mousefur was like, we have to call an assembly. There are too many non-clan cats in ThunderClan. Like, this sucks.
And it just weirds me out that, like, Mousefur, she's always been portrayed as, like, a little bit gruff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But since, like, the very first book.
But racist?
She was never, like, a cantankerous, racist, xenophobic... Like, correct me if I'm wrong, she was pretty neutral to Firestar joining the... Or to Rusty, mm-hmm. I guess, joining the clan. Like,
yeah.
She didn't really care. It was mostly, like... I feel like... you know what the best way to sum up the new prophecy is, I think?
Yeah.
The Aaron Hunters just looking at each other, like...
Shrugging.
Hey, all of our villains have been played out. What do? Make everyone...
I kind
of
like the institutional villain.
Just make everyone the villain. Everyone's the villain now. Except
Brambleclaw was even the villain for a second.
Brambleclaw wasn't the villain. He was just the misunderstood protagonist because Brambleclaw can do no wrong.
No, he was saying, like, when Mousefur called her meeting, Brambleclaw was like, yeah, I agree. I don't think we should have kitty pets in the clans. And then later we get a point of view chapter and he's like, oh no, I didn't think about that the things that I said might have hurt the people closest to me. Like, you know, the kitty pet leader that I, you know, father figure that I have, or all of
my
friends who are half clans.
My love interest, whose father is actually that kitty pet leader, who's
yeah,
my father figure
God.
Slash actual father.
It's just such a strange, so many strange decisions made.
I feel like it could have been worked if it was part of a larger overarching storyline, but it's just kind of dropped in the middle. Like, there's a storyline about Stormfear and Brook being out of place in Riverclan.
Yeah, and something's up in the mountains, but they're not talking about it.
And
so
then,
I guess we're gonna have to figure that out later.
The Aaron Hunters were just like, okay, lean into it harder, make ThunderClan also have this.
You know what it sounds like to me?
Yeah?
It sounds like to me that this was sort of the last episode of the finale of How I Met Your Mother of Warrior Cats for you guys, where it was unnecessary, it was a lot of stuff, and it sort of ruined the past three seasons of character development. Is that what I'm hearing here?
I mean, I think, okay, look, here's my big take. I think that Sunset is a wonderful lead-up to the ending, if the ending is different.
You're very focused on ending.
I'm very focused on the ending, because of course I'm focused on the ending. This is the finale of the series, the whole point of
I've just kind
ending.
Of been along for the ride for the last couple of books, to be honest.
I think that this ending could have been a little better. I think you could have kept this ending, because we can't kill Firestar, because Firestar's cool. Firestar's
mm-hmm.
great.
I do like him.
So is Tony Pelt.
He's a himbo king. We need to keep him.
That's true.
It feels like they were just trying to sort of really wash their hands of the whole Tiger Star plot. Though I'm sure Tiger Star comes back later in the series. Because this is when like we see more of Cat Hell, and I remember we talk about how Cat Hell does get released into the mortal realm.
Yeah,
later on.
It's funny you should say that they're trying to wash their hands of the Tiger Star thing, because
come back.
One of Leaf Pool's kits also starts training with Tiger Star.
Wow!
I think they're trying to wash their hands of Hawk Frost at the very
end. Yeah,
that's
what
they
it seems like.
Which also,
whoops, we
kind of
spent
they,
too much time.
You know, just Brambleclaw had killed him and Firestar. I'm sorry. I'm extremely focused on this because I hate the ending of this book.
I think it's a great. I think your ending is a great idea. I just think that it might be too cerebral for Aaron Hunter.
Yeah, I think
Warriors fan fiction.
I think this ending could have worked if it had like two more chapters to like resolve something and like set up a better future.
Like a little bookend. Like with the last book, it was like literally the last sentence of the last book was also Stormfur and Brook are there. And with this book, like the last sentence had a very, I don't. It felt the same way. It was like, yeah, we know you're gonna read the next series, so what's the point in resolving anything that happens here?
Well, so here's the thing, though.
We understand how the sunk cost fallacy works. You're not gonna stop now.
It feels different because this is the end of like a whole arc. So the next part, the Power Three jumps off. Like I feel like they should have had. I was expecting a chapter where it was like the next gathering. Where, like, they, you know, they announced Brambleclaw as deputy. They explained, hey, River Clan, you know we how get, like, Hawkfrost, some... you know how Hawkfrost was alive? Well, let me tell you, that's different now.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever remarked on. I can't remember that ever being remarked on by River Clan in the later
books.
I guess there is, like, a bit of a time skip between this and the next books, though, right?
Yeah, but it's just weird that, like, there isn't another chapter of, like, oh, hey, guys, yeah, Hawkfrost tried to kill Firestar, so he's dead now. You should maybe take a look at your warriors.
For sure. Like, it's just...
Hey, remember when you were all, like, following Hawkstar to... sorry, Hawkfrost. You were all following Hawkfrost when you threw out two of your warriors.
Yeah,
you banished them into our clan. You know how that happened?
Turns out he posted cringe.
Yeah.
I have a lot of... I'm going to change my... Actually,
oh, no.
You know, I was going to say I'm going to change my tune a little and talk about what I like about Sunset, because I don't like being solely negative. I'm trying. But I really don't like this book.
Also, there's not a lot of riffs. We don't have a lot of riffs this episode. It's kind of disappointing.
Okay, I'm looking at...
What can you riff off here?
I mean, I already did Graystripe Mpreg. That was like the end of my...
That was pretty good.
That was the far... I really reached for that one, and I feel like there's nothing else.
There are three pages between Squirrel Flight discovering that Firestar is bleeding in the forest and Brambleclaw is standing above him, his paws matted with blood, and the ending.
Yeah.
Like, there is... It's literally just, like, Cinderpelt finds her dad, and he's like, Brambleclaw, you saved his life! And we don't even get, like, a little bookend. It's just, like, excerpt from Warriors Power of Three, number one, the site. And it's like, oh, cool, so...
Maybe this book could have been more interesting and have more investment if they'd at all focused on Brackenfurst's feelings of inadequacy at not being able to save his sister from death while trying to protect his kids. God,
it's too cerebral. We need to talk about Cloudtail's love life now.
Brackenfurst's a side character. We can't listen to anything he has to say.
I hate how it feels like in the first Warriors. The first Warriors felt so much smarter. Like, the first series felt so much smarter, and it's so weird to me. Like, feels like they went backwards.
There was, like, a planned ending.
The side characters are only there for Cloudtail's ha-ha, white mad, I don't know why, comedic boomer humor.
Well, not even, like, focus on the side characters.
They're there to be racist. That's the two uses for it. They're there to be xenophobic. They're there to be ha-ha, funny boomer humor. What else are they there for? Unnecessary conflict that takes us...
That's
out of
true.
The forest and back in, like with Daisy.
Yes, yes.
Which where nothing gained.
Nothing is resolved.
And we do have to have one or two cats that we don't care about that can die during a conflict to prove that the conflict is bad, but also not so bad that we have to write around losing one of our main characters, because that would be hard.
Which, you know, they did in the first.
All
I'm saying is the first. My big problem with, overall, my big problem with the New Prophecy arc is that it feels like it is a downgrade in how they wrote the villains, primarily. Because in the Prophecies Begin, I think it's called now, it felt, it felt much more focused. Tiger Star, as a villain, felt threatening. There was a lot more, not so much needless brutality, but he felt like a tangible threat.
Yeah.
Because there were, like, important characters that just died. Tiger Star just killed them.
It felt like Game of Thrones a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and you didn't know who was going
to
die when.
We've gone from Cat Game of Thrones to Cat Twilight.
Yeah, it's Cat Riverdale, basically.
And, like,
I'm about to... Wait, I want to say, I can take it in a different direction, I realize, because if we're... I got a solid riff. I got a solid riff we could do.
Oh, give us the
riff.
So I got the PDF up, and I'm just going to go through, and I'm going to read every sentence where the word sunset is used. Okay. How does that sound? Can we do that?
Yeah, let's all right, do
I'm
that.
Down, I'm down. Mm.
I want all cats who are fit to go out on a... Yeah, I can't speak today. Oh, I want all cats who are fit to go out on a hunting patrol. Firestar went on. By sunset, I'd like all the clan to be well fed and the fresh kill pile stocked up, right? So that's page... This doesn't have a page... 100. The first time 100 is used, sunset is used, page 100. Did it go...
Does it pick up in frequency towards the end?
Wait. I thought this bit would go longer. It's used twice in the entire book.
Did you use Control F and then find the publication information?
I hadn't checked the number yet. It's five. Five times, three of which are publication. And then it's used twice in the book.
What's the second time?
This one is on page 220, so another 120 pages. It's also Firestar again. Very well, Firestar meowed. You can go, but if Daisy says she wants to stay where she is, come straight back and leave her in peace. Best wait until sunset, he added. There won't be so many two legs around.
You know that classic Firestar quote? Best wait until sunset. There won't be too many two legs around. I still remember his words echoing in my mind whenever I think
about
Firestar.
That's the only two times they say sunset in the entire book. And I can tell you what, I definitely both times went, haha, like the title of the book.
Okay. All right, I think that's gonna do it. Thank you so much for listening to Four Trees, our Warrior Cats community podcast. I've been your host, Spencer Grant, and I'd like to thank our guests, Clayton and Cora, for joining us for the last little while. You guys have been wonderful. It's been so much fun. Four Trees is recorded live in front of a studio audience at Druids Hollow Studios here in Bristol. Our theme was composed and performed by Spencer Chopin-Grant and mixed by Alex Turner. Our graphics and 3D assets were designed by Spencer Diablo-Grant, and our editor is Spencer Pagliacci-Grant. The Warrior Cat series is written by Aaron Hunter and distributed by HarperCollins. Please support the official release. You can find us at the web at spencergrant.co.uk/fourtrees or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find our YouTube uploads with auto-generated subtitles and audio visualizations at youtube.com/spencergrant. Again, I've been Spencer. You've been wonderful. Bye.